Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we come before you with our frailties and fears. We invite your power made perfect through our weaknesses. We come before you with our hopes and dreams. We're grateful for your prophet Joel's image of your daughters who will prophesy, the old who will dream dreams, the young who will see visions. We come from a world in which much is unraveling. Guided by your Holy Spirit, inspired by the teachings of Jesus, brought together through the reconciling peace of Christ, we ask you to reweave our fragments into your purposes. We come as persons sometimes privileged, sometimes oppressed. We invite you through your Son Jesus, who proclaims release to captives of too much or too little, to open our prison doors. We come before you here at Eastern Mennonite University at the beginning of this new school year. Many of us new, some of us in mid-career, some of us in transition. We invite you to form us this year as the persons you dream of our becoming. We come before you now not only with words, but also in recognition of how often life takes the words from us. When words flee, we invite your Holy Spirit to intercede with and for us through groans and praises too deep for words. Dear God, we do come before you, thankful that it is within you here at EMU, in all our phases and stages, in study and play, in laughter and longing, in life's sorrow and sweetness, that we live and move and have our beings. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Good morning. Stand as you are able and open your hymnals to number 338. The theme for this morning is one of wonder and vision and dreams, and I'd like you to think about, in fact, how wondrous God's grace is as we sing this hymn together. We'll sing all four verses in parts. Bum, bum, bum.
I know that thy God's wondrous grace to me. To keep that which I committed.
Good morning, and welcome to the new academic year 2015-16. Welcome to all of you, students, faculty, staff, and retirees, and welcome to those who are joining us by way of live streaming at our locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Washington, D.C. A special welcome to all the new students, faculty, and staff who are joining us for the first time, especially the undergraduate class of 2019. All of you who are new are joining a community of learning that has been on the move for nearly 100 years, and we hope you will quickly find your place in the rhythm of our life together. You are welcome here, and you belong. Although our community was dispersed over the summer, the world did not stop to wait for us. In many ways, this was a tumultuous summer, one that tested the fabric of our nation and our church. I think, for example, of the horrific act of racial terrorism in Charleston earlier this summer, and the seemingly unending series of encounters where unarmed African-American citizens were beaten or killed by the people we entrust to maintain law and order. These events exposed the still unhealed wounds of racism in our society, and they made us seriously question whether more than 150 years after the abolition of slavery, we have yet achieved a culture where black lives matter. There were several momentous Supreme Court decisions that exposed the deep political, economic, and religious divides in our society. The presidential election process began heating up, with too many of the candidates exploiting our fears and anxieties for their own personal gain, exacerbating our polarization in the process. Our university's own denominational home, Mennonite Church USA, experienced a contentious national convention in Kansas City, where we debated the question of same-sex marriage and where many who attended left, feeling uncertain and fearful for the future of our church. But amidst all the tumult, if we paid attention, there were also signs of grace and hope. I think of the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston and its loving and gracious response to the hatred and violence that had been visited upon them. And I especially recall the moment in the memorial service when it seemed to the entire nation was joining the president in singing Amazing Grace. And just a few short weeks after the difficult U.S. Mennonite Convention in Kansas City, Mennonite World Conference brought thousands of Mennonites and other Anabaptists from around the globe to gather in Pennsylvania for a week of making sweet music together, both literally and figuratively, as we worshiped, sang, prayed, and worked together, reminding ourselves of the values and commitments that unite us in love for each other and the world. And as many of you are aware, here on our own campus in June, our Board of Trustees took an action to expand our university's non-discrimination policy, widening the welcoming embrace of this particular community of learning. At EMU, our aspiration is to be a university community that embodies these signs of hope, nurtures their development, and provides an alternative to the fear, ignorance, and violence that drive so much of human society. We aspire to be an engaged community of learning that is bound together by love, a love of learning, a love for God as revealed in Jesus Christ, and a love for each other. My prayer is that in the coming year, we will all learn more and more about how to love well, deepening our passion for learning, strengthening our commitment to follow Jesus in love, and expanding our embrace of each other as we support and care for one another, informing ourselves into educated, thoughtful disciples. This is important for us as a university because being grounded in a community of love and belonging allows us to take the risks that we each must take if we are to expand our knowledge of the world around us and engage the most difficult problems of our age. Thank you, each one of you, for joining together in this community of learning as we embark once again on a new adventure of exploration and discovery.
In the back flap of your hymnal, you'll find a little pocket. And in that pocket is the Eastern Mennonite University hymn. It will be familiar to some of you, and it will be unfamiliar to a number of you. John Faust will help us. With the organ.
Scripture passages from the book of Acts in the second chapter. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy."
Good morning, first years, returning students, faculty, staff, friends. My name is Hannah Heishman.
And my name is Rachel Schrock. As co-presidents of SGA, we have the honor of introducing Dr. Lauren Swartzenduber, the president of EMU. Lauren has been serving as the eighth president since 2004 and is set to retire June 30th after 35 years of dedicated leadership in Mennonite higher education.
In 2016, Lauren will complete 13 years of service at EMU.
Though he has spent considerable time weaving in and out of EMU circles, his career is not limited to the service at this university.
Lauren came to EMU from Heston College, where he served as president for 10 years. Previously, he was associate executive secretary of the former Mennonite Board of Education in Elkhart, Indiana for 10 years.
A native of Kelowna, Iowa, Lauren graduated from EMU with a Bachelor of Art degree in Liberal Arts and earned a Master of Divinity degree from Eastern Mennonite Seminary. He completed a Doctor of Ministry degree at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary. His thesis focused on increasing Mennonite parental involvement in the college choice.
After graduating from EMU, Lauren was the Associate Director of Admissions and part-time Associate Campus Pastor at his alma mater. He was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1975 at Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church near Kelowna, Iowa, and was pastor at Salford Mennonite Church for several years.
Lauren has been very involved in the local community on behalf of this university, as well as for his own personal nourishment. He is currently a member of Parkview Mennonite Church. Further, he is actively involved with the Council for Independent Colleges in Virginia and Virginia College Fund. He is a member of the Council of Christian Colleges and Universities and currently serves on their board of directors. Lauren also serves on the board of directors of the Evangelical Environmental Network and the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools.
Lauren is married to Pat Swartzenduber, a native of Wellman, Iowa. She is a nurse by training and a former healthcare administrator. Pat currently serves as volunteer for EMU and serves on the Everence Board of Directors. The couple has four children, three of whom are EMU alumni, and five grandchildren.
Clearly, Lauren has been rooted in this community, and his legacy will continue to bear fruit in the future.
Join us in welcoming Dr. Lauren Swartzenduber to speak on dreams and visions for EMU and beyond.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Dr. Myron Augsburg to stand, if you would, please. And I don't see Esther here with you. Okay. Dr. Augsburger, 50 years ago, began as what was then the fifth president of Eastern Mennonite College and Seminary. Now, 50 years ago, you might imagine that he's now 100. He was only 35 when he began as president and went on to serve with distinction for 15 years. And I had the privilege of working with and for him here at EMU when I was a seminary student. And I traveled for 6 years part-time with him in doing advanced work and interdenominational evangelistic preaching missions around the U.S. and Canada. And Myron just celebrated his 86th birthday. Thank you for your service, Myron, and we're glad that you're here this morning. I'd also like to recognize Joe and Hannah Lapp. I know I saw Hannah earlier. Both of you, please stand. Joe served as president for 16 years from 1987 to 2003. Thank you so much for your service as well. Burl Brubaker. Burl just retired this year after serving as nursing professor, chair of the nursing department, Vice President for Enrollment, Provost, and Director of the Library, and she also served as interim president between President Lapp and myself. Thank you, Burl, for your many, many years of service to EMU. And two other people who have been my friends and mentors. Shirley Showalter, I see, is here, was president of Goshen College for a number of years. Please stand, Shirley. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you're living here in this community. Thank you for your service. Laban Peachy was president of Heston College, 1968-81, and formerly, and he's sitting with the retiree group because he was a professor here, dean of men. You had a number of psychology, I believe, was your field here as a professor. So please join me in thanking both Shirley and Laban. Every grandparent is convinced that their grandchildren are the most precious, wonderful little people on the face of the earth. Now, for Pat and me, that's actually true. Pat, are you here? I'd like you to stand if you are. Oh, over here. Okay. I guess she figured the last convocation, at least the fall one, she'd mix it up a little bit and sit on this side. So I usually see her back here somewhere. So, but to prove my point that our grandchildren really are pretty precious, I have a couple of photos to show here. Now, this one actually was a video, but my technological skills obviously are lacking, and so it didn't quite transfer over that way, but it's a video, so imagine they're playing in the waves. Waves are coming in and they're squealing with delight. All right, there's another one on the beach. When we were together in Sandbridge earlier this summer, we only got to be there for a day, but most of the family was there for a week. And this one was from, I think, last Thanksgiving, when all of us were together. The oldest one is 6 and the youngest one is about 20 months, so our life has changed really, really dramatically in the last 6 years. And then finally, whoops. There are two reasons for showing this picture. One is I often get mixed up with Schwarzenegger. But more importantly, the reason you can turn it off now. The reason that I wanted to show that, and the reason I go over to the fitness center a couple times a week with a trainer, is not so much to resemble Schwarzenegger, but more importantly, so that I have the energy to keep up with these grandkids over the next couple of years. Well, next decade, I hope, or more than a couple of years. Honestly, I know that our grandchildren are no more special in God's sight than any other child anywhere on the face of the earth. This morning, I offer a few dreams for all grandchildren and future generations, and I invite each of us to contemplate our responsibility to be co-creators with God in making a better world. The biblical story begins with a picture of a pristine, unadulterated, good earth, a creation story rooted in a garden, and the story ends in Revelation in a city with the tree of life, producing fruit each month for the healing of the nations. This salvation story, known in German as Heilsgeschichte, is the thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. It's the story of unconditional love, the story of why God created this beautiful world, this planet we call Earth, the purpose of humankind to be in relationship to each other and to God. And from the very beginning, we are created in the image of God, and we are given the responsibility to care for this Earth, to be good stewards. And by the way, I don't see a conflict between the Bible and science when it comes to creation. As a science professor at Heston College used to say, the Bible tells us why the world and humankind were created. Science speaks to the how questions. The problem is that we're not doing our part as the human race. We are rapidly depleting the Earth's finite resources, polluting our environment, spewing particulates into the air, dumping chemicals and waste into our water supplies, behaving as though we can do what we want and that God will miraculously step into our world and reverse the damage. Some people even argue that the degradation of the Earth is a part of God's cosmic eschatological plan, as if God's purpose was to create a beautiful world, created human beings in God's image, trusted us humans to take care of it, but now has given up, set on a path to destroy us all. So this is my first dream for our grandchildren and all the children of the world, that our generation would become the stewards that God has called us to be, to take the actions to stop the raping of this good earth, to acknowledge that we are causing climate change that results in climate disruption. It is way past time to call this a political issue, and time to address this as the most pressing moral issue of our day, for our grandchildren and particularly for the poorest populations of the world's most vulnerable people. We must act now. Thomas Edison, inventor of the electric light bulb and the phonograph, along with many other discoveries, saw the future quite distinctly. And by the way, if you don't know what a phonograph is, ask me later. In 1931, not long before he died, Edison told his friends Henry Ford and Harvey Firestone, who would become famous in their own right, said Edison, "I'd put my money on the sun and solar energy. What a source of power. I hope we don't have to wait until oil and coal run out before we tackle that." Now here's another quote from Edison that might actually be more pertinent for the beginning of an academic year. "A genius is often merely a talented person who has done all of his or her homework." So in the next few years, I will tell my grandchildren of EMU's sustainability efforts and of our care for creation emphasis. The movement of this past summer to revive the campus gardens is a loud message to our community that we aim to be stewards of God's good creation. And toward that end, we are also in the final planning stages for the installation of the next solar project over the parking lot of the University Commons. And watch for further announcements on that. The exact timing of that is yet to be determined, but we are moving toward that end. But I have additional dreams for my grandchildren and all the children of the world. I dream that we who mentor them will model a deep faith commitment that is life-giving, welcoming, driven by Jesus' first and second commandments to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But my fear is that's not the message that's being heard by most people in our culture these days. We know this from research. Those of us who claim a Christian identity are increasingly viewed as angry, anti-this and anti-that, full of fear and anxiety. We focus attention on a few texts of the scriptures to support our cherished notions and ignore one of the most repeated phrases of the Bible, "Fear not." I've nearly come to the point in my life, based on what I've experienced in recent years, to simply say that I want to be known as a follower of Jesus, mostly because too much of what passes for Christianity bears little resemblance to what I read in the New Testament. It's not an expression of faith that I dream about for my grandchildren. But one of the realities that I'm facing as a father and grandfather is that succeeding generations will not express their faith in exactly the same ways that I cherish. A couple of years ago, I just thought about this question. I don't know why I had never asked it before, but when I started going into congregations, kept going into congregations, I would begin to ask this question of the adults. How many of you practice your faith in exactly the same way as your parents did? I've asked that in dozens of locations among hundreds of people, and not one person has yet had the audacity to raise their hand and say, "Yes, I practice my faith just the way my parents did." And then my next line is, "Congratulations, You are the first generation since the beginning of humankind to finally get it right. At least that's what I hear when we complain about the next generation. On Monday, our 6-year-old Noah began first grade, and our 5-year-old Isla, who is named after my mother, began kindergarten. I'm sure they both experienced, when Noah began first grade, Isla began kindergarten, I'm sure they both experienced some anxieties, not unlike what some of you as new EMU students may be feeling as we enter into this academic year. Anxieties and fears notwithstanding, it's energizing to see the excitement in a child's eyes for learning new things about themselves and the world around them. So my dream for Noah and for Isla, for Shane and for Lane and for Jude, and for every single one of us here today, is that the intellectual curiosity of a 5-year-old will energize us for a lifetime. As difficult as it is to imagine, there does come a time for most students when one's formal education comes to conclusion. But there are always books. In the words of James Baldwin, you think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read. It was books that taught me that the things that tormented me the most were the very things that connected me with all the people who were alive, who had ever been alive. Martha Nussbaum, in her book Cultivating Humanity, speaks to the importance of developing empathy, the capacity to place ourselves in the situation of others through the study abroad, in a residential college, any activity that rouses a sense of human connection. And Bobby Fong, late president of Ursinus College in Pennsylvania, it is through a heart pierced by pain and trouble that we open ourselves to mercy for our own frailties and to compassion for those of others. So these are the dreams that I have for you and for my grandchildren. To serve as co-creators with God for a more sustainable world in which all God's people can flourish. To be sustained by a faith that is grounded in hope, not fear, and to be energized by an insatiable thirst for discovery and knowledge. Not for ourselves, but for the good of the world. Amen.
Thank you, Lauren. Take out your hymnals and open to number 46 and stand as you are able, for I sing the mighty power of God.
Good morning again. I'm Andrew Miller, Director of Cross-Cultural Programs here at EMU. And we are a community gathered, and we are also a community sent out. And this morning, we will be commissioning a cross-cultural program to China for this fall semester. I'd also like to advertise that this Friday and next Friday in chapel, we'll be reporting from our summer programs as well, if you'd like to come hear about what we've been doing over the summer. I had a good opportunity to share some reflections with the group yesterday. Part of what I reflected on was this is my 20 years ago today. I was on my own cross-cultural, working on a pig farm in Germany. And you don't think I could do that? And part of it was I was alone there working with pigs, and I was homesick, and sometimes I cried. But I had an intense learning experience. These are intense learning experiences where we learn from the world around us, we engage with them, but we also learn new things about ourselves. We find direction for our lives, and we also find out who we are as people. And that's the real exciting piece for me as I work with students and with programs with this. I'd also add that, in case you're wondering, I did try to make the parables come to life, and I did try the pig feed. It needed salt. I'd like to welcome the group up on the steps for the commissioning side, if you'd like to come up. We have 12 students, come up, I'll keep talking. We have 12 students going this semester, led by Merlin Ruthie Beiler and Eric and Ling Eberly. Eric and Ling are already in China with some family there, and they will be meeting up. They depart tomorrow at 7:45. So be there at 7:30 if you would like to send them off for a prayer of blessing. So please come at 7:30 outside in front of the university commons.
In the morning.
So get up early, see them off. Good stuff. I'd like for all those who would like to come up and lay hands on them as part of this commissioning service to please come up at this point, and Lana Miller, undergraduate campus pastor, will lead in a prayer. So please come up and surround them.
I'd invite all of you who are coming up to stay, as Brian explains the Shenandoah welcome at the end. So after the prayer, just to remain up front here. Let's pray together. God of love, grace, and mercy, we gather this morning and acknowledge your presence with us. This morning, we especially ask your protection and blessing on each of the students and leaders who will be traveling to China. We're grateful for their desire and willingness to step into unknown places, to grow, to learn, and to be challenged through this cross-cultural experience. God, we ask that you open their eyes to the extraordinary world that you've created, that they would have hearts and minds of curiosity, openness to seeing you in unlikely places, and that they'd care for one another along the way. May you be evident to them in the moments of loneliness, in moments of fear or anxiety, and also in times of joy and discovery about others, about themselves, and about this wonderful world that we live in. We pray for the safety and health of each one, and not only for them, but the people that they meet, and also for those that they leave behind. We pray for the leaders of this group. Give Merle, Ruthie, Eric, and Ling wisdom for the journey, and the ability to sense your presence along the way. Thank you for the opportunity that each of us have as travelers, as learners, and as people able to risk stepping out of what is often comfortable in this world here at EMU into a world where we become more vulnerable and dependent on your love and protection, and dependent on the community which we have with each other and with those who surround us. In your mercy, we pray. Amen. Just remain here for a moment.
So those who are here with the China group, you'll be able to talk in fellowship in just a minute. We would like all students who are here for the first time, be it transfer or first year, IEP, graduate students, to remain in your seats. We have a Shenandoah welcome for you, bathed in traditional Appalachian music, because here we sit, in the Shenandoah Valley, right between the Blue Ridge Mountains to the east and the Allegheny Mountains to the west. All faculty, staff, and returning students, if you would leave quickly and form the tunnel between this building and the Lehman Auditorium. Go out the side doors as well so that you can go quickly. First year students, new transfers and graduates, please just stay in your seats for a few minutes. We'd like to welcome you in a bit of a unusual way. When I hold up the green card, then first year students, transfers, and graduates who are new can go. But for now, it's stop red. If you're worried about 10:40 class, don't worry. Just go to class after we're done here. You'll be fine. Don't leave yet, not yet. Okay, all new students, if you'll head out those doors, we're just going to welcome you with the Shenandoah welcome. You'll go through the tunnel. It's a little weird, but have fun with it.